Buddha, to the Dharma, and to the Sangha. I did two talks recently on the five columns and the five ranks, and I wanted to do a talk or two on the five columns and the five aspects of meditation that came up for me in my retreat in 1998 that most of you are quite familiar with. But I'm going to do it from a particular angle today. And just talk a little bit about the way that saddened love is healed and enlightened. In the process of training, if we think about the nature of our spiritual need, as our master pointed out so many times, at its heart it's always saddened love. The forms in which it manifests are many. And some of them can seem a long ways from love. Some of them can be so turned back on themselves, so convoluted and so anguished that they turn into cruelty. Some of them are closer to being recognized as love by being more in the line of sadness and grief. Whatever form manifests in, though, really, at its heart, it's saddened love. So let's kind of take a little lump of saddened love and kind of walk it through the process where it gets its help from the eternal. And the first of the five columns is the starting point. That is where we're kind of bumbling along through life and there's a lump of pain that's just kind of drawing itself to our attention. Well, that's the purpose of pain, isn't it? It's to get our attention. And so there's some form of pain that's drawing our attention. And finally, if we're fortunate, we stop and we say, wait a minute, I need help. And when we turn inwards and look to the Eternal for help, and our heart cries out to the Eternal, then we're in the first column then. The first aspect of meditation that came up was in 1998 was ask sincerely. And that's what it is to ask sincerely in the context of meditation. Remember that all of this has to be understood in the context of turning within in meditation. If it all gets externalized, it doesn't mean it can't be helpful in some way, but it won't get to the root of the matter until it goes directly to the Eternal, and that's the meaning of meditation, to go directly to the Eternal, not to go via a circuitous path, but to go directly. The cause of suffering is within ourselves. The help is within our own heart. Now we're oriented in the right direction. And you can say, that need is oriented in the right direction. It's kind of like it was spinning around, looking in all directions, and now it's looking in the direction of the real help, the eternal. And it's opened the gateway for the help to come to it. And so now it really needs to present itself to that help. And that is the second column. And the way that came up for me in 1998 was offer wholeheartedly. These five aspects of meditation that came up for me in 1998 are interesting because it all emphasizes what I needed to do to be true to what I was finding at a new level and what was happening within myself at that time. What I needed to do for the rest of my life, where my focus needed to be spiritually. So, offer wholeheartedly. And this is where we really, as I've so often talked about it in this series of talks, because this is really a continuation of the series of talks on how to grow a lotus blossom. This is a continuation in the sense it's the same blowing of teaching out. Part of the same flow of teaching. So, this is where, again, as I've said so many times, this need is taken, we place it on the altar of the heart, and we sit with it, and we sit with the pain of it, and with the longing within it. And this is where the transformation, the conversion begins. As we sit with it, as we meditate with it, not grasping after it, not turning away from it, not pushing it away, not trying to fix it, not trying to get rid of it, letting it be there and all, whatever it is, and if it's just a big mass of anguish, just sit with it as a big mass of anguish. If it's longing, just sit with it as longing. If it's anger, just sit with it as anger. If it's sadness, just sit with it as sadness. Let it be what it is in all of its what it is-ness. Let it be what it is. Sit with it. It's held there. It's like it's held in this column of light, just like Rim Master describes. It may not be experienced as light. It may be experienced as dark, but it's still within that column of light. The light of the Eternal's love. And there the Eternal's love can start to get at it. Get at the need. Note here that since the need itself is essentially saddened love, another way you could put it is here its true nature can start to be unveiled, you see. Because there isn't ultimately the difference between the Eternal and us, the help and need that we tend to think there is. But you have to use words and concepts in order to teach in this way. Otherwise you just teach by pointing a finger here and there and giving a whack here and there. But if you need to use words, you have to use words, and so sometimes it's helpful to think in terms of a help separate from the need, but really that isn't the case at the deeper, at the level of truth, deepest level. And this is where, so you remember the second column is a column of the karmic washing, the washing of the karma. And this is also the column of Sangha. So another way to put it is, this is where self starts to get dissolved out of the need. Where it starts to get unblocked. Unconfused. This is also the place in which we begin to experience the immaculacy within the need itself. And this can be sometimes described, which we experience very, with great clarity and great depth, is sometimes described as a kind of painful longing for the eternal, a longing that has pain within it. Christian mystics sometimes describe this kind of anguished, longing love. The anguish in it is the indication that there's still this. The confusion, the sadness. But the love is indication of what this true nature of the need is. And this is where we experience our longing rising up to the eternal. And we recognize that the help is there now, rather than being blind to the help. It may not be a head recognition, it may just be a blood and bones, heart recognition, doesn't matter. We may need to sit in that second column for some time. Eventually, when this is truly done, there is an enlightening of the need. And this is the third column where the teaching descends, as it were, from the eternal to meet that in the need which is confused. And it really starts to get straightened out. This can happen in so many different ways. Sometimes it happens in the twinkling of an eye with just a direct insight that just changes everything. Sometimes it happens with less clarity in some ways. When the washing has happened truly, when the asking has happened truly, when the washing has happened truly, then the help can truly get at the need. What is it we need to do at this point? What came up for me in interestingly enough, in 98, was wait patiently. I think the wait patiently is talking about both what's the state that you have to, the patience that you need in that second column while that washing that's going on happens. That can be hard to bear at times. But also is talking about keeping the faith strong that the help is coming. So I think that that third aspect of meditation that came up for me in 98 is kind of a bridge between, encompasses something in both two and second and third of the columns. Where your focus needs to be when you truly have done the offering or doing the offering, you need to be patient with it. Don't leap up, oh well, you know, it's not working. Got to get on to something else. Be patient with it. And within the context of that patient meditating with it, then the help can start to come in. Sometimes it just seems to trickle in. Sometimes it comes like a bolt of lightning. The help will come as is appropriate. You have to trust the eternal. The help side is the eternal side. Trust the eternal there to do the eternal's work. In the Litany of the Great Compassionate One, there are the lines, do the work within my heart. There you go, right there. The heart is open for the help to come in. Whatever form is good, whatever form is needed. The fourth aspect that I was shown in 1998 was listen carefully. Ask sincerely, offer wholeheartedly, wait patiently. Listen carefully. The teaching is there. You're not going to get it unless you're really doing that, what I talked about recently, that whole being listening. I remember when I was a younger monk, you know, many years ago, sitting at the Abbey, sometimes sitting a whole meditation period and kind of just being very conscious. I mean, this went on for a long time, actually, maybe for years even. I'd sit and I'd feel like there was this whole being listening happening. It was with the ears, it was with the whole being, too. Her master wrote in her commentary on the precepts, described the voice of the eternal as that which speaks in silence and in stillness. The still, small voice. How are you going to hear it unless you're listening? How are you going to listen truly unless you're meditating? You don't have your own opinions in the way, your own standards, your own expectations in the way. Then one can recognize the help. And this one's kind of like a bridge between the, kind of combines the third and the fourth of the columns in a way, I think. The fourth column is Brahmaster described as spiritual bathing. And that is where our need, say, you could say, I mean, this is putting it very simply, and it's, I think, usually more complex than this, but it's got the teaching it really requires. And that has kind of pulled the arrow out of it, you might say. And now it needs to be able to do its full reharmonization with the eternal. Sometimes that might be experienced as just dissolving, our love dissolving into love of the eternal. Sometimes it might be experienced as being, having the love of the eternal poured upon us. Sometimes it might just be experiences, our love and the love of the eternal not being any different at all, just being one great flow of love. It may be experienced perhaps in innumerable ways, I would imagine innumerable ways, because the help of the eternal is infinite. That's where all the merit, peculiarly enough, all the merit kind of coiled up within that need. All this sincerity of purpose coiled up within that need comes springing out. And there is this flowering of merit. All of which as Bodhidharma quite rightly pointed out, all of which belongs to the eternal or is of the eternal. So this is the dewdrop slips into the shining sea stage. Need dissolving the eternal, our longing love dissolving into the source of all love. The fifth aspect of meditation that came up for me was follow gladly, ask sincerely, offer wholeheartedly. Wait patiently, listen carefully, follow gladly. You know, well, what is the glad following, really? This one kind of is a kind of a bridge between 4 and 5 of the columns, as it were. Because the glad following is not where you kind of plod along behind, but where what the following really is just being carried on the wings of love and wisdom of the eternal. At the deepest level, this is always how it's experienced. That great yes that comes doesn't come from self. Like this just comes through you, like the water through a pipe. That one then can step out with confidence. Do that which is good to do with confidence. And truly manifest in one's actions. Allow to truly manifest the true spirit of the precepts. The soaring spirit of those precepts. Remember the fourth of the five ranks. Such a man has in and of himself a heaven-soaring spirit. But Master used to say, you know, you can fly. When talking about, you know, physically flapping around. Being raised above the suffering, out of the suffering, on the wings of the compassion, love, wisdom of the eternal. And this whole process is really a manifestation of the life of Buddha, the true life with a capital T and a capital L of the eternal. And that's the fifth column. Her master describes it as the axis mundi. The great pillar of the the sheer truth of the eternal is that permeates the universe, that is the reality of all things. And another way to put that is love, infinite love, love beyond our comprehension. Infinite love. That is the reality of all things. Even though there may be a great fire, my heart is always calm and still and filled with angels, said Kazan. In the scripture on the immeasurable life of the Tathagata, my pure land will not be destroyed, even though beings may see it as utterly consumed by fire. How can that be? You know, out of confused and saddened love, we look out upon the world and despair. We see change happening, and sometimes in devastating forms and horrific forms, and people so easily despair. Now, this is not the true reality of things. The true reality is my pure land will not be destroyed, though beings may see it as utterly consumed by fire, being filled with grief and horror, distress and fear. Yet it's not necessary, if we train ourselves, that we look upon it that way. If we train ourselves, we can look upon it with faith and compassion and wisdom, and recognize that even in the darkest place, the eternal is. And whether the follow gladly also means, you know, at the deepest level, you know, it's really the expression of the true meaning of the Bodhisattva vows. The willingness to be reborn in heaven or in hell, on earth, in whatever realm is good, to follow the eternal through heaven and hell, through the hungry ghosts, through the world, the animals, through whatever circumstances and situation, it is good to do, to be willing to do so. Not to willfully do so, but to be willing to do so. Not my will, but thine. Here I am. Not my will, but thine. Please show me the way. I will follow you wherever you lead me. Then that aspect of love which we experience as our love naturally soars up to the infinite love of the eternal and mixes and melds with it. While we are alive, our life is the life of Buddha. When we die, our death is the life of Buddha.